Hello and welcome to Liberal Rehab. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about schools and the whole system of public schools and why it doesn't work. We have to tackle this problem of the public schools. Every single child should be going to an excellent school. Why don't we have every child going to an excellent school? Why do we accept that so many children are going to schools that don't teach, that are full of violence and drugs and gangs and horrible teachers? There's no way you're going to tell me that there's kids that you can't have a school, that every area can't have a school with discipline, control, and the kids following the rules. You can have it. And kids that can do it, we need to get let go. No school needs to have kids that disrupt the school in the school, because it spreads. If you let them, then other kids will be like, oh, we can do that. I can do drugs in the school and get caught, and I'm not going to get kicked out. So we have to do a good job with the schools, and we can do it. But the question is, how? Because obviously it's decade after decade after decade. There's movies from decades ago about principals that get beat up in the school and drugs and gangs controlling the schools. And Lean on Me, another one, the guy went in there to clean up the school because the school was out of control. And it's the same thing going on now. It's even worse because it's actual real life. And there's kids that go to school and they can be harassed and abused and beat up multiple times a year. And there's drugs, and there's a lot of kids with drugs where if you want to be cool, you want to be with the cool crowd. The cool crowd is the one that does drugs for a lot of kids because of what they see in Hollywood and what they see Snoop Dogg and all these guys rapping about doing drugs, so they think that smoking weed is cool. If you don't smoke weed, you're not cool. You can't not smoke weed. That's what a lot of kids think, especially the ones that don't have parents or father. And that's 80% or 70 to 80% of the black community is boys without fathers. And they grow up in this with a disadvantage. And then they're in this school where there's gangs and drugs. The gangs are like father figures trying to recruit them. They want to be with them. You can't be cool if you don't smoke. So they are smoking. They're all smoking. And the school doesn't care. Now here's the thing. How do we fix this? So the first thing is we must have school choice. There is no other way. The reason why we have this problem is because the people running the school tolerate it. And the parents have no choice. The school tolerates it because they get paid in the inner cities by the city budget. They don't get paid from the parents' taxes because the parents rent, or there's very low taxes and it doesn't even make enough to cover the school budget. And they get their money from the city budget. It doesn't matter what happens with the parents. It doesn't matter if parents start getting upset and wanting to leave the neighborhood. They all already want to leave the neighborhood. They just don't because they can't. They're not going to lose any money if someone moves out of the neighborhood, and they don't care. So they tolerate it because they still get paid. They still get paid the same amount. And the parents tolerate it because they don't tolerate it. They do tolerate it, but they have no choice because according to the system, they have a district, and this is their district, and this is their zone, and this is the school they have to go to. So the system we have now doesn't work. You have to have choice. See, what happens when parents have a choice? First of all, parents don't have to tolerate it anymore. And they can take the money and send it somewhere else. And give it to someone that actually provides their kids with a school that provides an education. And if parents have a choice, many people will open schools. A whole new industry of schooling will explode. There'll be brands of schools. Because they do such a good job, they're going to expand because they're going to realize that all the parents want their kids to go to their school. And they're going to start to open schools across the country. The city, the state, and the country. They can start with the city. And they can compete with anyone else that wants to open a school. And white people can open schools, black people can open schools, everybody can open schools, and parents can choose. So right away, parents won't have to tolerate, they'll have a choice. And they won't tolerate any of those schools ever, ever, ever again. And I promise you, if you implement school choice, you will never see a school the way you see the schools now. It's not possible because the parents, before it even gets close to that, they will have chosen to go somewhere else. And another school would have expanded and opened another classroom, or they might even have a building that they can expand and open three more classes in each grade. Or they can just rent another building in another part of town because they see they have so many applicants, 10 times more than they can accept, that they can easily open another school in 10 miles down and accept another 400 kids. and accept their vouchers. Anybody can open a school, and the schools, the parents will have a choice. This is the key. The parents will have a choice. And all these schools, they'll be constantly competing. They'll be constantly making sure that they're up to par and that their standard, no kid falls under their standard. Because as soon as kids in their school fall under their standard, they're going to lose money. And they're going to teach. They can't fake it. They can't fake it. You know, in the public school, the reports, they fake it and that's it. And, you know, the kids go to college and they don't know anything, but on the report, oh, they passed. But when you're a private school, people are going to start to notice that the kids are not where they're supposed to be, regardless of the grade. And they're going to have a choice. Because before, you don't even have a choice. So even if you did see differences, you don't have a choice. But now private schools will be rated. And if you don't do a good job, people are going to start to leave. You know, if there's stories that you're not doing a good job, everyone's going to go apply for the other school. And they're going to see. And all you got to do is rent the building and hire some teachers. Take the teachers from the schools that close, or get new young teachers, or get some old teachers that retired that want to make some money. There's plenty of teachers to find. All the public school teachers are going to be out of work. And maybe some of them will get hired because they're good. But you're going to get hired. Teachers will get hired based on their merit. If they really teach well, they're going to ask for more and get more. Because they're going to bring in more students and more money. So they're going to want, a teacher is going to want to be the best teacher that he can be. Because if he's the best teacher that he can be, then he's going to be able to ask more when he says, hey, boss, that other school, they heard such good things about me. They offered me $150,000 a year. So either you got to pay me $150,000 a year, or I'm going to go to that school. And they're going to pay. Because that teacher is the reason why all the kids' parents go there. And every teacher there is the reason. Because if you don't have a good teachers in the school, the parents are not going to choose it. Because parents are going to have choice. I know this is completely foreign to you, that to have choice of school. But it's the same thing as having a choice of which supermarket to go to. Of course you have a choice. If one supermarket gives food that's not fresh or old or gets you sick, you're not going to go there anymore. You go to a better one. Just like with schools, people will demand the best quality and only the best. Good isn't enough. They want the best for their kids. And they're going to go and apply for the best schools. And those will expand and open. And the ones that don't do a good job, that say, hey, we thought we were doing an okay job, but all the parents are choosing the other school. They're going to see what the other school is doing. They're going to find out the reasons the parents like that school. And they're going to implement those working techniques into their system. And they're going to improve. And the public schools that are going to start losing all their kids, because when kids start to get vouchers, and we can implement it, scale it in 10% a year. Every year, 10% more kids will get a voucher. First year, 10% of kids get a voucher. Next year, 20% of kids get a voucher. Third year, fourth, whatever, 40% get a voucher. And what will happen is schools will grow. Schools can grow very quickly. You can open a school very quickly to handle all the new kids that have vouchers with their check in their hand to pay for school services. And the public school is immediately going to say, oh, whoa, whoa, what's going on here? These kids have a choice. Oh, okay, guys, staff meeting. We got to improve here, 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 and everywhere. And they're going to improve because they're going to know you have a choice. They're going to know you're not their sucker anymore. You have a choice now. They got to please you. And who knows, maybe there's some public schools that will be great, that were before hells, will turn into great schools, because every teacher is going to know that the school, their budget and their job depends on the school doing well and pleasing all the parents. And they're going to also know that the level that they teach individually themselves is going to determine their pay, not the union's pay scale for by year, where you're guaranteed every year more and more and more, and then you retire and you're on a path and you're actual quality of service is irrelevant, the way it is now with unions. Instead, teachers are going to say, hey, if I don't teach perfectly and well and make sure every kid in this class learns, I'm going to get paid less. I'm not going to make as much as I could, because schools are not going to be willing to pay me more, because I'm not that worth it. Actually, I'm not that good, and actually they were trying to replace me as soon as possible to get a really good school so they can attract more parents to come to the school. And if there's not enough schools to handle all the kids, then all the unemployed public school teachers can open a school. The good ones can open a school. And drill sergeants and people that want to help kids that are troubled or have problems with ADD, or they're violent, or they're angry, or they have self-control problems, there's plenty of good people in every community that will open it and want to help them and make a business out of it. There's plenty of good people in the black community that will help troubled black kids. There's many people in the white community that will help troubled black kids. And there's also vice versa. It has nothing to do with race. But the black community is really affected by these horrible schools. They are the ones in the worst schools. And if your kid was in that school, you would make sure you had school choice. So how do you let their kids go? How do we tolerate this? I already told you how we tolerate it. It's the system. We don't have a choice. The unions like it because they're getting $1 trillion a year in spending, federal, state, and local. They don't want any competition. See, the unions don't want to give you a choice, because if they give you a choice, you can choose someone that's not them, and they're not going to get paid, and they're going to be worth less, and they're going to lose money. That's why they're against choice. There's no way that if parents have choice, the schools will be worse than they are now. They'll only be better. You'll never see a horrible school again. And if you do, it'll be gone in a year or two because the parents will figure it out and say, oh man, we screwed up, and it's going to close. And whoever invested thought that it was a good investment to try to take vouchers and open up a school and then and not give a good service, they're going to only be open for a year. Even in 6 months, parents will start transferring their kid out. I say let the parents pay monthly. Let it be monthly. The second the parent wants to go out, if he finds another school that will accept their kid, they can transfer in the middle of the year. Let the schools compete. And it's never about the teacher. It's not about the teacher. I'm sorry, because I'm not saying the teacher is not important and that they have rights and they're important, they're special, they're people, could be my family member. But because the kids are involved, the kids always come first. That's why it's never about the teacher. If there were no kids involved, then it would always be about the teacher. Okay, fine. But there are kids involved, and they always comes first. So it's never about the teacher. It's what's good for the kids, period. The kids don't have to suffer so you can have a career in teaching. Go have a career somewhere else. Go teach something else. Go teach basketball or knitting or something else that you can be. You're such a great teacher. I'm sure there's things you can teach. Open a little place and offer that to parents. But don't teach them. If you can't teach them math, science, English, if you're not a good teacher, if you're not doing a good job, you cannot teach. You should not be teaching. And there's good teachers, but if you're in bed with the devil and the unions and their policies, then you're in bed with the devil, whether you're a good teacher or not. Just because you're a good teacher doesn't mean you have the right to force people to go to your school and not give them a choice. If you're really the best, they'll choose you. I promise you again, if you give parents a choice, bad schools won't exist. They can't exist. Do you ever see a sushi place that gets everyone sick every other day? Someone gets sick and the food's never fresh and the prices are high? You ever see a sushi place like that survive? No, they don't exist. And there's plenty of sushi for everyone. There's sushi for $2, $3, $4. But you don't see any sushi places that give horrible service because they go out of business. No one chooses them. We don't want to force people to go there because the sushi chef is going to lose his job. Would you ever think, oh, we got to go eat at the sushi place that we might get sick at because the sushi chef needs a job? You ever do that? No. Why do you think that way when it comes to schools? The teachers' union is such a powerful thing. You know, every business, you know, if the business doesn't do well, you're out of a job. What are you going to do? We're going to force, you know, if the company, nobody wants to buy anything from the company anymore because someone else has a better product and you can't do it as well and no one wants to buy from you anymore, then all the employees are out of a job. They have to find another job. We can't force people to buy the inferior product so that everyone has a job. Do we ever force people to buy an inferior product just so people can have a job? No. So why do we do that with our kids' education? Why do we accept an inferior education just to make sure the unions have a job? You can teach kids, by the way, in the forest with sticks. If you're a good teacher, you can take the kids into the woods and just sit around in a circle and the teacher can teach and draw the numbers in the sand. If he's a good teacher, or use sticks and rocks to show math, or show it, build a triangle with sticks. If you're a good teacher, you can teach. It's not about the money. Anyway, we need to do school vouchers. What is school vouchers? Give every parent of every child exactly what is spent per student per year on education, and give it to the parents per child per year, $10,000 to $15,000 is what we spend. Whatever it is in the budget of the city, the town, or the locality where you're at, give it to the parents where they decide where the money goes. And the suppliers of education, the schools that open, and the schools that will become available will compete, and the parents will continuously choose the best ones. So just like cars went from no power brakes, no power steering, no power anything, to what we have today with air conditioner, airbags, everything is upgraded and better and better and better, and it's constantly getting better. And just like with any free market capitalistic industry, everything always gets better and better and better and better. The only times things go bad in an industry is when the government is involved, like healthcare, college. College is getting more expensive and more expensive. Why? Government's involved. Healthcare is getting more expensive and more expensive. And worse service. Why? Government's involved. Do you ever see a service? Do you ever buy from a service like the garbage trucks that pick up the garbage that I see in many neighborhoods? They just throw the garbage bin on the floor in the street. They just, you know, they empty it and they chuck it. They don't put it back where in the spot where it belongs. You ever see a private company do that? They don't care because they don't compete. You don't have a choice. They're getting paid to provide that service from the government. So you don't have a choice. They can give you whatever you want. They want. It doesn't matter. DMV, they don't care. Yeah, sometimes you had to wait an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. They don't care. They're getting paid no matter what. If you had a choice, if we would contract private companies to provide the service of checking, and you know what, you think you can trust bureaucrats more than people that whose business depends on their integrity and their quality of the service they provide? Let people have a choice. Then they're going to, I'm telling you, if you give parents a choice, the public schools will improve because they're going to see that they're losing business. Must have choice. Must have free market. The government only destroys. The government only limits. They want to control the industry because then they control money and they can get money into their hands and power. A regulator is the most corrupt part of an industry. It wasn't the bars and the liquor stores that were the corrupt ones. It was the liquor license guy. You had to pay him. You know why you had to pay him to get a liquor license? Because all the other bars paid him so that he wouldn't give you a liquor license. Because they don't want any more bars nearby. They don't want any more liquor stores nearby. So they pay the liquor store guy. Hey, listen, I'll give you every month. Don't let anyone else open next door because it's going to take half of my business away. And with big bars that are really successful, they don't let anybody open for three blocks. Only because they want to protect them. Same thing with all regulation. They have control to shut down people or to limit entry into the market, limit competition for their friends who will help them write the regulations in a way that makes it hard for anyone else to compete, that they always have an advantage, and they put their competitors out of business. That's what the regulations are about. It's not for safety. All right? When people have a choice, they choose safety. You find out which ones are safest. If the government wants, put out a report of which products are not safe and which products are safe. You don't have to regulate and take over the entire industry because they're just doing that. And even if they did it out of good intentions, once they see how much money and power they control, and once one company says, here, I'll give you a $10 million a year to you so that you won't approve this new company and I can make $1 billion a year, you're going to say $10 million a year. Okay, you know what? This company, you'll convince yourself that that company really does a good job anyway and that this new competitor doesn't really need to come in and everyone's getting a good product. You can convince yourself and you take the $10 million and after the first check, you're not giving it up next year. And that's it. And you guys are partners. Just like any salesman who works for a company tries to convince the customer that his product is the best product, even though he knows that there could be other guys that do it better. He doesn't say, hey, that guy cleans carpets for less. No one will ever tell you that I'm more expensive and I don't do such as a good job as that guy who already gave you an estimate, but you should choose me anyway. No one says that. They say, oh, I'm going to do a great job, even though you know they have better equipment than you. What do businesses do? Say, oh, you better call that other company that has better equipment? No, you never do that. You convince the customer and yourself that you're giving them a good deal. Same thing with the regulators. Their ego is completely tied up. They can't see reality. Nothing that tells them that they're doing something wrong ever can enter their mind because they block it out, just like liberals block out every conservative idea. You block it out because you're so emotionally tied to liberalism. You're so emotionally tied to forcing people into horrible schools. Yeah, the good schools, okay, we don't have to worry about them. What about the horrible ones? You're not doing anything about it. You guys are completely okay with it. And look what's happening in the black community. It's falling apart. The teachers in there teaching them liberalism, teaching them single motherhood is good. Haven't you heard liberals say for the past few decades, if you're old enough, you heard them, single motherhood is good, and it's just as good as, if they don't get along, it's just as good that the father's not there. And like, look what happened. In the black community, the single parenthood rate went from 25% to 80% during that time that they're saying single motherhood is good. And look what's going on. They don't have role models. They don't have fathers disciplining them. They're completely free, and they're going to the gangs for their role models. And liberal culture in Hollywood is like making those gang members and drug dealers and pimps like heroes. And these kids are lost. Their entire world view is completely different than most of America. A lot of young blacks are lost into this, believing that crime is okay and they'll rob anyone. If you're walking alone in the neighborhood and they see you, they rob you. If they think they can rob you, they rob you. And there's a lot of that. There's people like that in all over the world, in every race, in every culture. But there's something really in America, in the inner cities, in the minority communities. And it's because they believe that the world is against them. They see that they're in a horrible situation, in a horrible school with violence, and nobody cares. And they're teaching them that racism is always going on. And they're dividing the races. They're convincing them that the world is against them, and they're angry. They have a chip on their shoulder, and they believe, oh, I can rob people. They stole from us. We're being oppressed. I mean, I can rob from white people if they're oppressing me. That's what they believe. That's what so many believe. And they have no moral compass. How did they go to school for 12 years? What's going on? Liberalism is the devil, I'm telling you. I want everyone to be wealthy. I want all people in America to be wealthy. I want Hispanics to be wealthy. I have no problem accepting 11 million Hispanics. What we should do is all the 11 illegals need to will not become citizens. Oh, let's bring another 11 million Spanish in that are waiting in line legally. Let's bring them in. I'm all for it. And close the border. And if you came here illegally, you're never becoming a citizen. And we're going to make up for it and prove we're not racist by bringing in another 11 million Hispanics. I have no freaking problem because I'm not racist. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the rule of law. Let's get rid of all the illegal immigrants and replace them with 11 million legal immigrants that have been waiting in line. Then you can't say we're racist, but still, we don't want to move. There's people that have been here for 15, 20 years, have kids, have families. We can't uproot everyone and get them out. They're just not going to become citizens unless they go through a lengthy, lengthy process. And let's accept people that want, and if we see that they learned English and they want, and they're going to pay back taxes and they're going to do what they need and not have any criminal record, then let's help them become citizens after, but they need to go through a process, and it's going to take a long time, maybe. And you pledge allegiance to the flag. Yeah, we don't want American citizens, new American citizens, that don't believe in America and don't believe in freedom, even though half of freaking Americans don't even believe in freedom anymore. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's all. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Okay, the flag. What's the flag? Of the United States of America. Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Okay, we didn't even get any details yet. And to the republic for which it stands. A republic is a place where people have rights. That's all it means. One nation, okay, is that controversial? Under God, okay, is that controversial? Let people say under good. If you don't believe in God, we're going to have two versions of the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under good, that's all. With liberty, anybody have a problem with that? Liberty? And justice, anyone have a problem with that? Justice, for all, anybody have a problem with the all? No. If you can't, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under good, with liberty and justice for all. If you can't do that, you're not becoming a citizen. Sorry, goodbye. Doesn't mean we have to force kids to say it, but for new immigrants, you pledge allegiance. What are we doing? We're a country. We want to start a separate country here? Should we allow them to pledge allegiance to a new Mexico? Anyway, we need to help the black community. We need to help the black community. We need to help them, and the best way to help them is to give them free choice and to treat them like all Americans equally, and give them free choice for school. And what's going to happen? You know what happens when you do that? All of a sudden, all neighborhoods are free. All of a sudden, the neighborhood has nothing to do with the school, because the prices of neighborhoods often around the country have to do with the school district. But now it won't. Now the property values will be just based on the property. Your kid can go to any school and the crime level in the neighborhood and stuff like that, but it won't be tied to the school at all, because everyone gets a voucher and they can go to any school they want. It might, if there's a lot of good schools that are in the neighborhood, that otherwise it's not going to affect housing prices. Housing prices won't be tied to the school. That's what keeps blacks out of good schools, because the schools are tied to the housing prices, because wherever there's a good school, everyone wants to go and get away from the bad schools, and the prices of housing goes up. And they go up, and anyone that's poor can't get in. And anyone that's poor is stuck in the bad schools. And anyone that's rich can go to the good schools. Well, if we're already spending $15,000 a year per student on education, then let's do it the right way. That's what's good about Trump. Even if he leaves some programs in place that I would be against, at least he's going to make them run efficiently. At least he's going to be like, what the hell are you spending on this? And he's going to weed out the corruption, and I hope he does. And he's definitely going to do it better than Hillary, and Obama didn't do it. We have so much money. The government has a lot of money. We already collect so much in taxes. We can do so much more and still take less taxes. There's so much bureaucracy. Look at how the colleges, the Democrats want to fund them, and there's a huge bureaucracy. Just teach them what they need to learn in the classroom. They don't need freaking minority studies and women studies and, what is this? You need to women studies to get ahead in life? You need minority studies to get ahead in life? You need to learn how you're oppressed. You need to learn any little wink or nod of the head that a white person makes. You gotta need to know if that's racism so you can yell at him. They just want to divide. Anyway, I'm done for today. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.